Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. My name is David Law. It is Middle Sunday as we come to you, and Catherine Whittaker of Eurosport and myself, David Law, from BBC Radio 5 Live. We are currently exiting the Flushing Meadows US Open site because we are done for the day, Catherine. Early. Got the early shift today, you and me, didn't we? So what we're doing is we're walking towards the bus stop, which is dicing with trouble, really, given what happened a year ago. If you didn't remember that, go back and listen. But basically, Catherine and I were refused entry onto the bus, and we ended up having a massive argument live on the Tennis Podcast. So anything can happen. There are throngs and throngs of people out here at the moment, many of them waiting for the night session to begin with Garbiñe Muguruza and Petra Kvitova. And at the moment, Venus Williams is on the big screen being played. She is level at one set all as we come to you. But what has happened so far today, Catherine? We've had a couple of, I suppose, the players that light up interest in terms of the punters around here going out, because Denis Shapovalov lost in three tiebreak sets, each one of them exactly 58 minutes long, which is a bit bizarre.
Great fact. I didn't know that.
Well, you want to hang around with me more often on 5 Live. That's the sort of good stuff you get. But anyway, he played well, but Pablo Carreño Busta, he's an animal, that guy. He just keeps on coming, and you know, you would have to hit so many good shots, winning shots, to knock him over.
I was so impressed with Pablo Carreño Busta today. I mean, it wasn't the swashbuckling tennis that Denis Shapovalov plays, and I sort of felt sorry for him for that. You know, he was having to play the straight-laced baddie, I suppose, in the piece, but he was magnificent. I mean, Shapovalov was fantastic. He just wasn't fantastic in the tiebreaks. I don't think it's because he was tired, because he had played a lot of tennis, or that he was mentally not experienced enough at that level. I just think it's a really tough test playing Pablo Carreño Busta, and he's just not quite there yet for a fourth round of a Grand Slam. You know, the relentlessness of him was just a bit too much. I was very impressed with the way Shapovalov stuck with it in that third set. Went 3-love up, got pegged back, took it to a tie break. I think almost all young players in a similar sort of situation to him would have fallen away completely in that third set. Couldn't have coped with the disappointment, very understandably so, and I was extremely impressed with him. But Carreño Busta, yeah, there was a real grit about him today that I've not necessarily seen before. I'm not sure how much further he'll go, but he's only ever reached one Grand Slam quarterfinal before at the French this year and had to retire from it. So this is a big deal for him.
Well, he's got Diego Schwartzman next from Argentina, who's an incredibly talented player. I mean, when you look at him standing side by side with some of these opponents, it's hard to believe that he's actually able to compete because they're so much bigger than he is. But in terms of firepower, he is the equal of so many of them because he hits the ball so hard. From what I understand, he was physically not in the greatest of shapes today. So you ask how well Pablo Carreño Busta can do going forwards, I would imagine he is a pretty heavy favourite.
I would too, but I would have thought that Lucas Pouy against an injured Diego Schwartzman would have been a pretty heavy favourite. And lo and behold, there he is losing in four sets, fought back to win the third. But I didn't see that much of that match. So answer on a postcard, if I'm being unfair, I think Schwartzman obviously did brilliantly, but I just want more across the board from Luca Puig, because I think he's fantastic and generally speaking, he's underachieving.
Yeah, I'd share that view. Yeah, I totally agree on the subject of Dennis. I feel as though, and if you look at the match, all three sets were basically the same. He was in all of them. There were three tie breaks as Catherine goes to try and negotiate with somebody outside the bus to hold the bus, because there's important business to be done here. The Tennis Podcast is recording, everybody. But the fact is that there are just a... I suppose go-to plays for really experienced champions, and it's something that I think Grigor Dimitrov's never worked out, is what his go-to play is when he really needs a point or two, and the best players have got them. The other thing is, though, you mentioned that sticking in on every single point. You're right. I mean, I think of people like Hewitt and Roddick and Nadal, those scrappers who just won't go away, and Shapovalov has definitely got some of that to go with his incredible talent. And so it bodes well. And there was a lovely moment at the end of the match when he departed the scene and he put his bag down on the court in the middle of the baseline. And he just so that he could properly say thank you and goodbye to the crowd here.
It was a really special moment. I was courtside for it. I got goosebumps. And he judged it perfectly. He didn't steal the limelight from Karenia Busta. Very fine line in that situation, actually. When he motioned to start putting his bag down and do that, I did sort of steel myself a bit. I thought, and he judged it perfectly. I thought it was a really nice gesture. Absolutely the right thing to do. Did it for just the right amount of time and then exited stage left for Karenia Busta to have his moment.
He did. And how about this for an extra? On the Tennis Podcast, Simon Briggs of The Telegraph has just come to get his bus at the same time. He's clearly been given the early night as well. Simon up in arms at that statement.
I've taken it. I've been given it.
No. But anyway, we'll come back with all the night's results at some point. Simon, we've just been talking about Denis Shapovalov. We've also seen the departure of Maria Sharapova at the hands of Anastasia Sevastova. Your thoughts on the day?
Yeah, I mean, we thought they probably... they were the two stars of the show and they've both gone out. So there's a slight disappointment, I guess, from the point of view of the tournament. Having said that, they were good matches, both fascinating, and a lot to talk about, really.
Yeah, Sloane Stephens has also gone through. Good win for her, so she'll now face Sevastova in the next round. Simon, just want to get your thoughts quickly, both of you, before you board the bus, about tomorrow. We've got Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal in action. We weren't able to cover them in last night's show because we weren't around, basically. both of them won through, and both of them, to me, Simon, looked a lot more like their normal selves.
Yeah, I mean, I've been scoffing a bit at this kind of concept of, oh, they're going to meet in the semi-final, because I wasn't sure that they were. You know, Rafa has not shown much form outside Australian Open and clay court season. Roger's been battling his back, so I wasn't convinced they were going to go deep, but maybe I changed my mind last night.
Catherine's now looking at the bus driver as if to say, have you actually got a seat on that bus? Because if you haven't, there's going to be trouble.
One's being saved on me for me, but I know what they're like, so I'm feeling very edgy. So I'll just pass on the thoughts of Boris Becker, who said about Rafael Nadal that if he's going to be beaten, it'll have to be in under 2 hours. No one's beating Nadal in a match that goes more than 2 hours. And I found that very interesting.
Very interesting indeed. So are we going to get this match, this semi-final, or what?
Yes, I now feel a lot more confident that yes, we are.
Catherine, where to go?
Del Potro, though. I briefly forgot about Del Potro. I think, yes, I feel slightly more confident, but Del Potro is the spanner in the works, because I think he's coming through against Dominic Thiem tomorrow on the Grandstand court, a match that should have been on Arthur Ashe.
You think that, do you? Because I had a bit of a rant about that earlier. The Federer-Nadal Open is just starting to slightly get under my skin.
Yeah, look, I see that it's almost impossible to bump one of those over. And I think had there not been the uproar yesterday about the scheduling and the fact that the night session started so late and that they almost had the latest ever finish for a night session, I think they might have put three men's matches on Ash tomorrow. And personally, I think that would have been justified. The women's, generally you get three women's, two men's, and that works brilliantly. But I think tomorrow, those three matches are good enough to justify being on Ash. I would have done that. But I think in the current climate, they wanted to avoid that particular line of scheduling fire.
Okay, Catherine.
They're happy with other lines of scheduling fire, obviously, but not those. You and Simon are getting the same bus, aren't you? So you two can plod on.
Yeah, let's see if we can just shuffle towards our bus. Let's watch Catherine from afar, Simon, and just see if she makes it. She's running at the moment, and we know what that means. But, yeah, it's been an interesting day. A couple of surprises. I'm really surprised that Sharapova didn't manage to get the win today. What about you, Simon? Do you have any issues with the scheduling here at all? I mean, do you just accept that that's, you know, showbiz and business dictates?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to you about it on Five Live earlier on, and tennis has a conflicted soul because it's an entertainment business. It's uniquely dependent upon its big stars, and it's never been quite fair. Wildcards aren't fair. Agencies aren't fair. Management of tournaments by IMG, for instance, and then running leading players, that's complicated. And scheduling, same thing. Do you... We could be the last two seats in this bus, more importantly.
We're going to get on the bus, folks. How about this? I'll bring you the results later. 5 hours later, to be precise. And, well, first match up, a big upset. Petra Kvitova defeating Garbiñe Muguruza, who for many people, myself included, was the favourite for the women's title. I mean, I suppose, in truth, you know, Petra Kvitova is not really an underdog on paper, in as much as she can beat anybody on her day. But then think about what she's been through. Think about how less than a year ago she was attacked in her own home and stabbed by an intruder and had her hand. I mean, if you haven't seen the graphic, gruesome pictures that were released by her and her doctors over the last couple of weeks of the playing hand that she suffered the lacerations to, I mean, if you've got a dislike of that kind of thing, don't see it, is all I would say, because it is hard to look at. But it does give you an idea of just what an extraordinary comeback this is. Word is that she's not even able to fist pump with her left hand, but she was able to hit countless winners today against Garbiñe Muguruza. Quite phenomenal performance. Muguruza was up a break of serve in the first set, but Kvitova turned that around, won it in a tiebreak, and was just steaming winners from every corner of the court. And, you know, if she carries on playing like that, she could win the whole thing. She's got Venus Williams next, which is, I reckon that's in the balance, that match. I'd probably marginally say Venus Williams as favourite for it, but Kvitova on that sort of form can beat anybody. It's quite as simple as that. They were followed onto the court by Sam Querrey and Misha Zverev, which, I mean, I'm not doing so well with the old predictions at the moment. I thought that would be close, and it was anything but. It was 77 minutes long. It was Sam Querrey 6-2, 6-2, 6-1. He was fabulous. He was Kvitova-like in the way that he played. Just winners flying off his racket. And I think that sometimes we do a bit of a disservice to Sam Querrey. He becomes the punchline to certain jokes, and I'm not immune to slightly roll in my own eyes when he comes up on the schedule, to be honest, because he's not exactly Mr. Charisma in many ways. But when he plays really, really well, he is dangerous, and he can play fantastic tennis. I was just looking at the record he had in Acapulco back in February. He won this title, and he beat Kyle Edman in the first round. He beat David Goffin second round, Dominic Thiem quarterfinals, Nick Kyrgios 7-5 in the third in the semis, and then Rafael Nadal in straight sets. And I didn't see all of those matches, but from what I was hearing, he was extraordinarily good. I mean, the funny thing was with him, he then went straight to Indian Wells and lost in the first round, and then lost in the second round in Miami. So you never really know what you're going to get from the guy. But he, at the moment, is in the zone. He's into the quarterfinals. He's just become the number one ranked American man. They just revealed that in the on-court interview with Tom Rinaldi at the end for ESPN. And he was clearly just absolutely thrilled about that. And now we get this bottom half of the draw lineup, which sees Querrey against Kevin Anderson, then Pablo Correa Busta up against Diego Schwartzman. And, well, you pick a winner out of that. That's one of those four is going to be a Grand Slam finalist. That's how much we do know. We've done a pole vault, you'll be pleased to know. Catherine will be thrilled on that very subject, which has got a couple of days to run. But early on, most of you think that Sam Querrey will be the one. 62% think he will get through to the final. So we'll see. On the subject of pole vaults, I'm going to fill my boots right now because I'm sitting in a hotel room on my own. Catherine's gone to bed. This is brilliant. I can just do pole vaults galore. Just to give you an idea of how awful your own predictions have been, 64% of you thought that Shapovalov would beat beat Karina Buster. Well, that didn't happen. And 86% of you thought that Muguruza would beat Kvitova. So I feel marginally better about the fact that my own predictions were rubbish. And we've got a vote that's still going on at the moment. The Nadal versus Federer US Open semi-final, will it happen? Now, 58% of you out of 900-odd votes have said that it will happen. 42% say that it won't. So still in the balance. That will be continued on Monday with Nadal playing against Alexander Dogopolov in the afternoon, and then Federer up against Philip Kohlschreiber in the evening. I'd be surprised if those two players were able to beat them on this occasion.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kopolov has beaten Nadal. I think he's the more dangerous of the two opponents because Kohlschreiber has never won against Federer. So we will wait and see on that particular score. A couple of comments have come in from listeners on at Tennis Podcast on Twitter. Mike Tomlinson says, I'm beginning to think that Sloane Stephens is a genuine contender for the women's title. Her speed on the court is unrivaled and she currently has the timing to go with it. We have our good friend David Levy, who's a regular listener to the Tennis Podcast and a good friend of ours. He says, I've got a question for you from my wife, Tash, who says, how does Sharapova stay so sharp and match fit after such a long time off? Good question, actually. But I mean, I think if you monitor her social media platforms and channels, she clearly works incredibly hard and is seriously dedicated to the sport, and it'll be interesting to see whether she can now move on from a pretty decent performance at the US Open, reaching the fourth round, and build on it and make inroads, particularly at the Australian Open. I heard she was going to try and play Beijing in when's that going to be, in October. So comeback will continue, she will hope, if she can stay fully fit. But that is just about it for the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. We hope you have enjoyed our show today. We will be back with more tomorrow. Loads more tennis to enjoy. Do have a good sleep if you're going to go to bed now like I am, and we'll speak to you soon.